Grace to you and peace from our gracious God in heaven and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I mentioned that Pastor was on a sabbatical 2 weeks, and she'll be returning after next Sunday. I'm not exactly sure when, but we will be having a guest preacher, and I will be presiding for that Sunday too. And then she has a pause in her sabbatical until June. I'm hoping it's because of the weather that she doesn't want to be frozen while she's on a 3-month sabbatical. But we will be discussing some of those things that will be happening while she is on sabbatical, but that's at another time. Now back to our story of Simeon and Anna. Both were steeped in the prophetic nature of the Jewish temple, and both were present when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus into the temple for his bris, or now they say, the name-giving ceremony at 8 days old. Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord, and Jesus will be blessed by many, even before he is a grown man. 2 that will bless him and his parents are Simeon and Anna. This is their last hurrah after years of pious living, waiting and waiting and waiting for the consolation of Israel. We really don't know very much about these folks, only these few paragraphs about their blessings of Jesus and Mary and Joseph, and how the Lord blessed them, Simeon and Anna, with the prophecy of being in the presence of the consolation of Israel. Now we would call the coming of the Messiah. They were called as a witness to the beginning of the end, or maybe it was the start of a new beginning, to witness to a momentous time of change, to point to the one who would be the center of that change, Jesus Christ. And then try to explain everything to their parents. And their parents, knowing Mary, she kept everything in her heart about what was said about her child. I can only imagine what the fulfillment of this prophecy would look like today. First, I think that Joseph and Mary would take out a restraining order on this guy who came and told them all those weird things about their baby. You know, this guy that busted up the celebration and said all those weird things. Then, maybe after they became friends, they would have busted out their cell phones and took selfies with the weird guy and Anna for that celebration. But Simeon was a faithful servant of the Lord in that he was given a prophecy that he would encounter the consolation of Israel before his death. He was never given a date or even a time period. He seemed to have been told to wait. I don't know about you, but I understand waiting. My first call took nearly a year, and I was wondering if ever a church would call me. But it does require patience and guts to wait those days out. And here are 2 that we see in our scriptures that waited for that time when Jesus would appear in that temple. To have the patience just to wait, just to hang on long enough for the prophecy to be fulfilled. It's not an easy thing. In fact, it's never easy to wait upon the Lord. The Lord's time, I don't know if you figured this out already, But the Lord's time is not our time, right? We live in a world where 60 seconds is a minute, 60 minutes is an hour, and 24 hours is a day, and 365 days in the year, and the fourth year is 66, but who cares? And this is what we do every single year. And then we repeat. It seems to be the way life is. The truth is that we fill that time with what? Just waiting around, doing nothing? No, we fill that time with the rest of our lives. And I'm sure that Simeon did. It's what happens when we wait. Life happens as we wait for whatever it is that we're waiting on. I wonder how Simeon knew that it was this baby. Yes, he was led by the Spirit. That it was this family. That it was this time. But the Lord allowed him to see the consolation of Israel before he died. The comforting of Israel. The one little face among faces that have entered the temple for years upon years. Well, he seemed to be very sure that the waiting on the Lord was now over. So much so that he knew that the Lord was dismissing him and allowing him to go in peace. He says, "Now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." Now, I know that we aren't all young, but some of us might even remember the time where we would sing this song after the communion blessing called the Nunc Dimittis, which is exactly these words. And it shows you how old a congregation is if they actually sing that song during the service. It's usually pretty steeped in tradition. We all wait for something. Do we know what? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we do. And it seems like the waiting takes twice as long because we're waiting, because we're wanting. But what do you do with the rest of that stuff? What do you do while you are waiting on the Lord? And I wonder, do the things we do while we are waiting, is it enough? Can we do more? What more can we do? And I think to myself, self, I'm only one person, and maybe I am working with a group of persons and share the same longings, and we're all still waiting. And I still am worrying, is it enough what we're doing while we're waiting? A group of us traveled to El Paso. We were trying to deal with a people that we could not understand in a place they couldn't understand, in a situation that was incomprehensible. But we did what we could when we could do it with the people that were in our presence at that time. And we still wonder, is it enough? Is this our time? And is this the only time we have? Is this going to help when there are 10,000 more waiting just over there, across the fence, across a river, or on the next bus through Albuquerque? Is what we do enough? Or is this what we wait for? And I think to myself, what a blessing to be able to be that consolation, even if it's only for a day. What a privilege it is to make hats and quilts and to find scarves and gloves and coats for people who are not used to weather like we're having, temperatures like we're having. And you know, even if it's for that time, when we encounter those that can use our help, however pitiably small it may seem, will it be enough? Or do we need to wait even longer? And I ask myself, is it enough? And I am answered, it is enough for now. But Lord, please don't dismiss me just yet, because there's still work to be done. There's another bus in 2 more weeks. Still have people coming in at the border that will need our help. Still work to be done, no matter how pitifully small it may be. For we are not called to save the world. Somebody else was responsible for that, and Jesus already did save the world. We are not capable of saving the world, but we are capable to help save the people we meet for a little while, in a little way. After all, we've been given great commandment and endless teachings and a trove of commandments to follow. But as we are waiting and dealing with life, we have also been called to be sheep, not goats. We are called to clothe the naked, even in freezing temperatures, especially in freezing temperatures. We are called to give to those who thirst for water. We are called to feed the hungry. We're called to welcome the stranger, even though we can't speak their language and they can't speak ours. A smile is a welcome indeed. We are called to visit the sick or imprisoned. And as Luther taught us, we are to be little Christs to those that we encounter in our daily lives. You know, the stuff that happens while we're waiting for something else to happen, running into people, smiling, being grateful. For surely, it is the face of Jesus we look at and we look into. When we clothe them, when we give them water, when we feed them and give them a smile, they are the face of Jesus. And I think to myself sometimes that maybe they see the face of Jesus in us because we've given them food and water and given them a warm coat when it's 25 degrees out. And I think when we do these things, we shouldn't berate or belittle ourselves for doing so little. No. We should thank God for the opportunities, the endless opportunities to help when and where we can help, however little or big it may be. We should be able to say to the Lord, now you can let your servant go in peace according to your word. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be the smiling face of Jesus to those that we meet. Thank you for the opportunity to feed the hungry, to clothe those that are naked, to give water to those who thirst. And thanks be to God.